It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much of an achievement was that tonight for your team?
I don't know, man. I'll think about it tomorrow, but a lot of people gave up on us after losing game two. We showed up yesterday, and we did an outstanding job, and tonight we had our plan mapped out. Rick was outstanding, and then the bullpen did an outstanding job at the end. Well, Craig, now he wasn't the usual Craig Kimbrough, but he got three outs, and he closed the game. They say in the moment, they play the right way. They ran the bases well, play good defense. Yesterday was Brock and the lefties. Today was Ian and Nooney and Christian. So we have a complete team. We're very versatile. We count on everybody, and it was a great team victory.
All right, it was Cora postgame.
I did like that comment he made last night, too, that one there, because he's right in saying that, you know, we're versatile. And he's right. I mean, they really can beat you in a lot of ways. They're athletic enough to play good defense. They run the bases aggressively. You know, they can hit for some power. They hit for some average. They're not undisciplined. I wouldn't say they're too disciplined. Like, there is, when you go against them, there's a lot to account for. The one major hole is that bullpen. I mean, that's really it.
But you're right. But Cora does strike the right tone more often than not. So we can debate whether he's making the calls, the analytics are making the calls, whatever. His, as you've said, Maz, his communication skills, he almost always strikes the right tone. Like, I'll give you another example. Last night, and Jimmy, did Jimmy just walk away? No? Yes? Billy, can you jump over? Can you? Of course, right when I want to pull one more piece of sound, it walks away. But the thing last night with...
The Red Sox playing the music.
The Red Sox playing New York, New York in the clubhouse, which the Yankees absolutely deserved. Aaron Judge absolutely deserved, and the Red Sox were right to do. That's what happens. That's what happens when you can't keep it in your pants, when you win one game of a five-game series and then decide to taunt the opponent. That's exactly what you get. That's exactly what you deserve. So the Red Sox play New York, New York in the clubhouse after the game and throw it right back at Aaron Judge's face. And then after the game, Alex Cora is asked about it. Are you able to play it, Billy? Nope. Oh, yep, okay. Here's Alex Cora on them playing that New York, New York.
Alex, I know you guys were sort of coy about it when asked before Game 3, but given that in your clubhouse you're playing New York, New York during the celebration, did that resonate with you maybe more than you guys let on after Game 2, Judge playing?
Not with me, but I know they talk about it. When Dustin brought it up, I was like, well, they know it happened. I don't know if they took it personal. Probably if we played Dirty Water at Yankee Stadium and they would have clinched in Fenway. Well, they probably played Dirty Water in their clubhouse. So I don't know, man. The kid, he's a great kid. He's a good player. One of the best in the game. He's one of those guys that can become the face of baseball from afar. I really enjoy watching him play, not when he's playing against us. So he's good for baseball. Nothing personal with him.
What a classy comment that was.
Unbelievable, right? And again, I hate to go back to Farrell on this. That's in his second language. Farrell in English couldn't talk to you right. Like, the really, when you think about it, it's stunning.
True.
Cora sits there and says, hey, look, you know, come on. All right, everyone gets a little fired up in these things. It happens. But he's a good kid. We all know that. We all like him. And Major League Baseball should love him because he's great for the game. He's going to be the face of baseball. Right? And it's just so tactful. What it is like, real dignified leadership. That, a statement like that. And I don't know what Cora's going to be long term. He might turn out to be an a-hole. Who the hell knows? Like, I have no idea. I'm just telling you right now, it feels to me like he set a good standard for them. He's communicating them with directly. And I mentioned this in the email exchange this morning. I think that, you know, they're winning, so don't get me wrong. But I also think they're more likable than they've been in years past, the last couple especially. And I think part of the reason is him. That I think fans look at him and say, okay, he's giving me a pretty straight answer. I can relate to that. And he's not feeding me some corporate mumbo jumbo that is complete corporate bullcrap that after he talks, I say, what did he just say? Like, what was really that complete bag of words that he just dropped in front of me that I have to sift through and figure out what the hell he just said?
The emotion of the moment sometimes leads to music interlude from a player like Aaron Judge, which was so unprofessional at the time. Like, huh? What? Robot?
Cora's real. He's real. That's all. And again, he's going to make mistakes, and they're probably coming in this series because he is due. Oh, is he due?
Very confident and strong.
I mean, like, really, again, he's in his second language, and I would rather listen to him every night than listen to John Farrell once.
The guy that was fresh and powerful.
So, back to your thoughts. Those are the core thoughts to lead off.
When he impacted the ground.
Thank you, John. Paul in Nashua, what do you got for us, Paul?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not too sure about the Patriots as far as this coming weekend. I'm kind of scared, but at the same time, they've got all their staff back, so I think that part of it's fantastic.
Your comment line says Maz on the Yankees. Do you have something for Maz on the Yankees?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if Maz still thinks that the Red Sox are chasing the Yankees.
Yeah, Maz. No, I do not think the Red Sox are chasing the Yankees. In fact, I said this at the beginning of the show today. I think definitively, without any hesitation or question, we can say the 2018 Red Sox are better than New York.
They should have blown the Yankees out last night. I thought the fact that the Yankees were even in that game at the end was a miracle for them. CC Sabathia had nothing. You should have put up 7 on him. And even without that, you are waltzing to the win, and then Kimbrel loses his mind. But that should not have been a ball game. You got down to New York, and those games are really almost uncompetitive. If it's not for Kimbrel, you'd say that they were uncompetitive. You were so much better than them.
Kimbrel did. He lost his nerve is what he lost.
We'll get to him in a second. Robin the Recliner, do you have something for Maz?
I do. Two quick questions for the viewers first, though. Maz, are you doing a pre- or post-game this weekend?
No, not this weekend, but we will resume next week with Game 3.
Okay, and any chance Eck and Orsillo will be getting the series?
So my understanding is that Eck is doing the series, Orsillo is not.
Oh, great.
So I heard this briefly. Right. Yeah, I heard it briefly. I think it's effectively the same crew you had last night, but they add Eck.
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
I think that's right.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to get to Stanton as well. You seem to be coming around a little bit on that. My whole point with the whole, I've always been a Martinez guy over him, is the quality of at-bats. Like, when you watch him consistently, like maybe one out of every five at-bats is decent. I mean, I feel like he wastes 4 out of every 5 at-bats, and as Martinez is the closest thing to me.
Okay, so Rob, you've been watching J.D. Martinez at-bats over your viewership? I mean, hindsight, it's obvious. Yes, now that I've seen them both. Yes, J.D. Martinez has much better command of the plate and much better discipline and much more range of what he can do and go the other way. And, you know, it's obvious. Yes, I can see it. I don't watch a lot of J.D. Martinez. All I had was his numbers and his track record. I'm sorry, I'm not watching Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. And I don't really remember him with the Tigers that well. Maybe I should, but I don't. I'm sorry.
No, look.
You saw from J.D. Martinez is that 4 years ago he was cut. And then he comes back, and then he goes on this run where it's like, well, where the hell is that from? Going into his free agent year, and it's sort of like you stack that next to Stanton, who's had year in, year out, big power numbers, a consistent power guy in baseball for a long time. And, well, that's why I was Stanton over J.D. Martinez, without having watched J.D. Martinez. I mean, I admit it at the time. You watch him now? I mean, it's clear one's a better hitter.
Oh, yes, not even close. I mean, J.D. Martinez is clearly a more complete hitter. No two ways about it. Stanton, I'm starting to, aside from the fact that he's a dumb hitter, which is what he is, he's dumb at the plate, I'm starting to wonder if he's completely sackless. Like, I look at it and say, he left 15 men on base in that series. I went through the box scores and counted them up. 15 in 4 games.
Is it sackless, or does he just know what, does he just, he can't figure out the slider?
Well, so maybe it is that. Maybe
the at bat in the ninth in game one was sackless.
Yeah, so that's right. He didn't swing the bat at all. And also, I just think a guy who's got a little more grit and a little more fight in him would work on that.
Yeah, hang in there on that inside slider because it's coming back over the plate, but he's bailing out and jello-legged.
So the caller said he gives away four out of every five at bats. And honestly, I think it's all five. I think he just gets lucky that someone leaves a ball in the middle in and he crushes it because he's that good. But he's not going up there, thinking, what's this guy going to do? He's just looking for a ball in a spot and he hacks at it.
So that's Eck and just back to the broadcasters, Eck and Darling. And I don't know the fascination with Don Orsillo around here. I mean, a super guy, nice guy. Like, I'm not ripping on the guy. But was he that special of a play-by-play guy?
No. He was good. I like Don. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, I like him too, and he was good.
But I think Dave O'Brien's actually a better play-by-play guy.
I think they're all roughly the same unless you suck. But, like, the guy now is Brian Anderson. He's the Brewers guy. I listen to him all the time.
Oh, I can't stand him.
Why?
Oh, I hate him. I think he blows.
How's he blow?
I just don't like some of his comedy. He doesn't feel right to me. I wish I could give you a
specific. He doesn't say anything. He's dull like everybody else.
Well, so maybe that's it. Maybe he's really dull.
They're all dull.
Maybe he's like Milwaukee dull. Like, maybe that's what it is.
I think he's fine. He's just another guy. He's the play-by-play guy, the standard setup play-by-play guy. Darling has his moments, and Eck is the best.
I like Eck and Darling together. I think those two would be a good tandem.
Me too.
Yeah, because Eck can be a little zanier, as you know. And I say zany, but you know what I mean.
Colorful.
Better word. And Darling's pretty straight and analytical. And, he's got the whole Ivy League thing. Like, there's that snotty attitude that comes with that. But and they know each other because they played together. So, there'll be a good chemistry there.
All right, we continue with your thoughts. And we got to get to Kimbrel's ninth inning. How'd you enjoy Kimbrel's ninth inning last night?
Oh, God, please. I told you. Well, you know what? I'll save it for when we come back.
Maz had a good line on this. How did you all feel about it, Boston? We get to that right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Red Sox 4, Yankees 1. Craig Kimbrel to face Aaron Judge. And he missed badly. 4, Gregorius. And a bouncing ball. That's through. Base hit. Judge will stop at second. Gregorius with a two-strike single. And the tying run will bat in this ninth inning. Stanton has grounded out three times tonight. Here's a 1-2 and a swing and a miss. And Stanton is down. The 3-0 and Voit takes ball four. They are loaded. Switch hitter, Neil Walker. And that hit him. A run is in. It's a two-run game. The line keeps moving for the Yankees. Full count, one away. Sanchez has been selling out for the fastball. The 3-2. And a swing and a high fly ball. Benintendi at the track will make the catch, tagging at third, and scoring is Gregorius. It is a one-run game, but Boston is one out away as Gary Sanchez just missed his moment in the sun.
Ball's supposed to be up, it was middle, and he just got under it.
And it is in the hands of the 21-year-old second baseman Gleyber Torres. Here he comes, the 1-2. Bouncing ball, going to be a tough play. Nunez gloves, throws, and in time for the out. The Boston Red Sox win the division series 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, and the Boston Red Sox are headed to the American League Championship Series.
That ninth inning, wow. And we have a quick update on the TBS broadcast crew in a second. But that ninth inning, ho. Woo. That was almost an all-timer there, Tonto.
Yep, tight booty syndrome for Kimbrel. No two ways about it.
So what was your line there earlier?
So I said, over the last two or three and even 4 or 5 years, if you go back to 2014, the Red Sox to me have been a team that has crapped its pants in big moments. Like, you look at the playoffs the last 2 years, they've been 2 division titles in a row. They get into the playoffs, they go 1-6, they crap their pants. Like, I've been waiting for them to crap their pants and I over the last couple of years especially. And this year, I was waiting for them to crap their pants again, so I would actually like to give them credit this time. They deserve credit because last night they got me to crap mine. I crapped my pants in that ninth inning.
Good line.
I absolutely crapped my pants while that was going on. I can't remember the last time I was that anxious in a ninth inning of a Red Sox game. Can't remember it. And so I don't know whether it was the New York thing, the buildup from the last couple of years, whatever it was, like all of it. But as that thing was unraveling, at one point I actually sat there and said, it's over. They blew it, and they're going to lose the next game. It's done. That's it. They blew it again. I was convinced it was done. They were over. It was over. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get the sack fly, and Nunez comes in and makes the play, and they get away with it. When that dribbler was hit, I thought it was a hit. I thought there was zero chance they were going to get that guy at first base. And I was, you know, literally like sweating and borderline shaking while that thing was going on last night.
How did you survive it, Murray? How did you storm out of the room and turn the TV off?
No, I know you. I know. No, because Friday was bad enough. Like, as much as I kind of rag on the long slog of the 162-game season, it's like, all right. But when baseball's like that, it's at its best. And I was sweating. Palms were, you know, I wasn't biting my arm or anything. I was like, I just can't believe this because as clean as of a game that was, and I'm with you, they probably should have blown them out and gotten more runs off CeCe Sabathia. But it came down to that ninth. It was like, oh, you got to be kidding
me. Oh, my God.
I can't believe they're doing this.
Wow, was he bad.
But it was the right ending because they were clearly the better team in this series, and especially in those two games in New York.
But just that inning. I mean, four-pitch walk. Judge leads off the inning, four-pitch walk. Gregorius has him 1-2, single. Then Lavangi comes out. He can see it immediately. Lavangi comes out for Stanton. And then Stanton, of course, can't even, you know, can't get out of his own way. So he strikes out Stanton.
As I said earlier, he was more nervous than Kimbrel.
So he follows that up with a four.
Yeah, that at-bat was a crapping contest.
It was. Who could drop a bigger load? Turns out it was Stanton. But Kimbrel rebounds from the Stanton strikeout by walking Voit on four pitches. Voit. That guy should never be walked on four pitches ever.
Agreed.
Ever. That tomato can.
Freaking Biff.
Voit.
He's every doorman you've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
As you said it earlier, that stadium is 50,000 Luke Voits in the stands. So Kimbrel walks him on four pitches. Now you have the bases loaded. He hits Neil Walker. The immortal Neil Walker gets hit. So now it's 4-2. Bases loaded, and they show a shot out of the bullpen. No one's up. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's where I was definitely at my worst. I MF'd my TV a few times.
Oh, my God. So bases loaded. He's already hit Walker to bring in a run. So the tying run's on second now. One out. Sanchez comes up, gets him to 0-2. Feeling okay. Whew. Nope. Sanchez works it to 3-2 and then flies out deep to left field. Just misses it. But that brings in a run. Now it's 4-3, and then Torres tapped out. What a cluster bleep that inning was.
Oh, my gosh, please. He completely lost it. It was a choke. And again, I know that ultimately he got the job done, so to speak, but that was the definition of a choke. I mean, he just could not. He couldn't rein it in. He was overwhelmed by the moment. The idea of closing out the Yankees at Yankee Stadium got him to absolutely melt on the mound.
Okay, does that give you pause going forward?
Sure, of course. Absolutely. So again, I added to the list now because in game one, I actually thought Kimbrel was pretty good. You know, the ball that Judge hit out on that breaking ball, Aaron Judge is a unique player. So breaking ball, middle in, and he hits it out over the bullpen. There aren't three guys in baseball that could do that, but crying out loud. Judge happens to be one of them. So that's when we say, okay, fine, great hitter, does a great thing. Then he blew away the next three guys. But this one, now you look at him and go, well, here we go. So now it's not just the eighth. Now it's the eighth and the ninth. Like early on, the next time he gets on the mound, you're telling me you're not going to be watching it closely?
No, I'm going to be watching closely.
Absolutely.
Joey in Boston, what do you think?
He's got me on hold.
Joey! Joey, I have you off of hold now.
How are you guys? I'm sorry to bother you.
It's okay, don't bother.
I got to be honest with you guys. And I know you're still in Boston and Santa would have loved you guys, but I'm the opposite. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why. If the pitcher is, I know you guys ain't fans of Kimbrel, which is fine. And I know last night after the first two batters, they should have took him out and put Wally the mascot in. I understand that. You guys ain't Boston fans. The difference between you and Boston fans and Cora rides with his ace. You guys threw in the towel last night, as both of you guys just said on live air. He went with him. And yet, his only other choice was Kelly. So what would you do in a situation like that?
Oh, I didn't second guess him for not taking him out. I'm just saying I found it interesting that he was going to sink or swim with him. He had no one up in the pen until Kelly really late. I thought it was the right thing to keep him in.
It's like at the altar when you get married. Are you going to pick the maid of honor? If you get divorced, you stick with your wife. And that's what he did. He stuck with the guy who got him there all season.
Okay. I wasn't second-guessing. I just said I found it striking that he walks two guys on four pitches, hits another, and they show a shot of the bullpen, and it's empty. I just found that, like, that sort of lent to the drama of the moment. That's all I was saying.
No, absolutely. Look, and I'd have done it the way Cora did it, only because there wasn't anybody better to bring it out there. Or I say, not even better, reliable. If you bring Joe Kelly into a game in Yankee Stadium with the bases loaded and he can't walk someone, he's going to walk someone. So I just figured at that stage, screw it. You got to ride him now. You set the whole thing up to get to him. You sail in the eighth, like all of it. And all of a sudden, you're going to bail on him and give the ball to Joe Kelly?
Okay.
No way.
So apparently, just on the TBS crew, Chad Finn says Eckersley not on the broadcast?
Yeah, so apparently he said yesterday it was a mistake that he had reported, because a guy just tweeted me this, and then Chad Finn said, he's not on it. It's the same crew that you just had for the ALD.
Oh, that blows.
Anderson and Darling, I don't mind them.
No, I actually like Darling.
Me too.
I mean, it feels to me like Darling.
And Anderson is fine. He's solid. Would you get what is your problem with Brian Anderson?
I think he sucks.
How?
He just does.
How?
He bores me.
For example?
I find him boring.
Oh, my God. And some of those play-by-play guys are just, you know, party starters.
Yeah, but he also feels stupid to me.
And Don Orsillo excites you?
More than Brian Anderson
does. Same guy.
I don't know about that.
Same guy, except Brian Anderson doesn't sound like every other guy now behind a mic in Major League Baseball. Ken's like, he's saying from Syracuse.
No, he sounds worse.
No, he sounds like a normal human being.
So I'll give you specific examples in the next series. In fact, I'll take notes.
Please do.
But I was focused on other things since I was on the baseball part of it. I'm going to ride his ass in the next round.
I usually don't bitch about broadcasters.
Me neither.
But I understand why they don't want the Boston guys on there, because that gets annoying. And not that you people can handle it, because all you want is homer coverage. That's all you people want. But try being from a different part of the country and having to listen to you call what should be a neutral site game. This is my childhood, Murray. I would grow up, I was a Milwaukee Bucks fan as a kid, and I would turn on the NBA on CBS for a big Eastern Conference playoff game. And you know who would be calling the game?
Tommy Heinsohn.
Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy. And if it wasn't him, it was Bill Russell.
Russell.
So they'd throw some Celtics legend on there for Celtics Bucks, and I would have to listen to these nimrods for, you know, the four games it usually took, the four or five games. And it's like, no, that gets a little annoying. And then Dick Stockton. Wouldn't Dick Stockton do the play-by-play?
He did Red Sox games.
Wasn't he a Boston guy, too?
Pretty much.
It's like it was all Boston guys. It was ridiculous.
Yep, we're taking over the world little by little.
Because you people out there, you don't want the truth. You don't want commentary. You just want smoke blown up your backsides. So, you know what? You're not going to get Eck. You're going to get the Milwaukee play-by-play guy. His name's Brian Anderson, and he's solid. He is rock solid, and you're not going to sense any bias because there is none.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not like one of you people.
Solid as a wheel of cheddar.
So we had Kimbrel in the ninth. It was a little different with Sale in the eighth. We'll get to that after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
We're also saying there is a certain lanky lefty who has been hovering around my office all day long saying, Skip, I got an inning in me, Skip, I got two innings in me. I think we all know who he's talking about.
First talk about bringing Chris in the eighth.
He's been talking about it for 3 days already. Everybody was on board. I even shouted to the dugout, hey, we all in. He's coming in.
Betts is back on it, gives way to Jackie Bradley Jr., and it is out number one.
I talked to AC before the game and told him I was, ready whenever he needed me.
And Sale gets his first man.
At this point in the year, it's all hands on deck and no holding back.
Two outs, nobody on. Sale deals, and a called strike three. Chris Sale retires him in order with a strikeout.
Will you be ready Saturday, game one?
Yeah, I'll be ready to go whenever they need me.
So Chris Sale in the eighth. That's a huge development. Healthy enough to do something like that? Because they had to have been prepared for him to pitch an inning last night and then get the ball tonight to start.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So that's just another really encouraging sign about his health.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the big takeaways from that appearance is that, okay, if they're willing to do that, then they're not worried about his shoulder. So, you know, to me now, I didn't like the move at the time. I thought, to me, it just feels like the kind of move you make when you're down 2-1, not when you're up 2-1.
So you didn't like it from the start. You didn't. Walked out there.
I didn't. I just think, you know, there was, you know, plus maybe the performance of the bullpen to that point had factored in, and I thought maybe they were going to lean on Kimbrel for 4 or 5 outs. As it turned out, it's probably good that they didn't. So, but again, going forward now, we know we're going to see Porcello in the 8th. We'll see Sale in the 8th. On, you know, maybe 3 days before they're due to start or whatever it is. You know, effectively, Porcello pitched in Sale's game the first time around. They did it the other way around the next time. So, and that barring those two, that Barnes and Brazier will get the ball in out of the bullpen in the big spots. So I feel like at least we learned something about how Cora looks at his relievers. Finally.
I think what's more important is that you saw that Sale's available for that kind of duty.
Sure.
Which is a game changer. So I think that was the Midday Show who put that rejoin together. So thanks to them for letting us use that. Want to remind viewers, listeners, the Felger and Maz off-air show comes your way tonight, Monday and Wednesday, 6:15. So it's Wednesday, 6:15, Facebook Live. Myself, Maz Murray, will be in back there with Jimmy Stewart answering your questions and your thoughts and getting to anything we did not get to here during the 2 to 6 program. So join us on Facebook Live, 6:15 for the Felger and Maz off-air show. Again, that's coming your way in just about half hour here tonight. So join us for that. What are you smirking at, Maz?
No, nothing. I'm just, my wheels are spinning.
You're smirking.
No, I'm thinking ahead to the baseball reporters.
Okay.
Sorry.
Your first commercial break, you come back there and you answer a few questions from the people, right?
Yes.
Okay. To your questions right now, though, before we hit the final word. Joe in Rhode Island on David Price and Game 2. How do you feel about that, Joe?
Yeah, I was just wondering what Maz thought about his decision. Is he wants to start Sale 1, then you give Price Game 2, then you skip him the rest of the way, and you'll have like Sale, Eovaldi, and Porcello do 5, 6, or 7.
Huh? That second part we'll get to in a second. How do you feel about Price in Game 2?
I don't like it. I mean, to me, I'd have pitched Price in Game 4 and give him just one start in the series. Give him one start in the middle, and that's it. That's the end of it. Because he hasn't earned more. And to me, I just think of it in those simple terms. The three other guys all pitch better, so Price is now the number 4 starter. You go series to series, and you stick him in Game 4. Cora's not doing that. I don't like it. I think they're making a mistake.
Hey, they're going based on the matchups, you got to think. So usually the Game 2 starter goes Game 6. Scary thought if you're facing elimination, David Price back in that game. Here at home, I like him better in a dome. There's less grass, dew, humidity.
It's temperature controlled.
The cold.
Fewer variables.
He doesn't like the cold, right. And I don't know. I feel like it can almost be worse at home than it is on the road for certain guys. A little more pressure at home. I mean, we're all up his keister in Houston. They don't even really get the dynamics with David Price, really. So, you know, I mean, I don't get it either. Eovaldi had one start against Houston this year, not good. What are Porcello's splits against Houston?
I'll check.
Like the last 2 years, I think, would be relevant. We've got Rory in the car. Yes, Rory, on the Red Sox.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm just calling. Did you guys ever think that if Mookie Betts batted 188 in this series that we would have won?
Yes. I think your lineup's deep enough and you have the Yanks in other places that a guy can hit. He could hit 188 and you could still win it. Yeah.
So are you worried that he is like a Price and he has no sack and he doesn't perform in the playoffs at all? It's just kind of what I wanted to hear you guys talk about.
All
and
right.
I'm a little worried about it with Houston because he went 3 for 16 in this series and didn't look good at the plate at all. Looked like he was guessing a lot and swinging in a lot of non-strikes. So just want to hear what you think. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Fair enough. I don't know. I don't feel that way about Betts. I'm still confident he's going to be good because he's good. But I don't know. The track record is building, I guess.
Yeah, so look, again, I'm not alarmed yet. He didn't have a great series. I don't think he had a totally horrible one there either, though, because, again, there were some contributions defensively. I thought on the bases he was good. So there were other things there. But
he hit the ball hard, too, for outs. The first out in New York last night.
Crushed it.
The night before, he smoked it.
Crushed it.
407 or something.
But they're going to need more out of him if they're going to beat Houston. I mean, I just, to me, that one's easy. You know, Houston's, now look, I suppose if everyone else hits and Betts doesn't, then they'll be fine. But I think your best players are going to have to play well in order for you to beat the Astros, and he's your best player.
Sandra in New Hampshire, what do you got for us?
Hi. I'm an old dog, but I hope you can shed some light on this for me. When Barnes comes in, 3 up, 3 down, Brazier comes in, 3 up, 3 down, why can't they pitch a second inning?
Ooh.
Why did they take him out so fast?
Sandra, you know the expression, get out while you're ahead?
Stop it.
No, get out while the getting's good. I mean, with those guys, you get 3 outs from them, 3 up, 3 down, take it, take your money off the table and go home.
Well, they were hot. They were doing their job, and they did a good job. And it just seems to me they could have got another inning out of both of them.
Well, Sandra, I just disagree. I'd take the money and run with those two.
I'll trust the manager and how he handled that.
Yeah, one inning. That's it.
But I mean, regardless, if you get a clean inning out of Matt Barnes, like, take it.
Absolutely take it. And the other thing is,
any of those guys in that bullpen.
Well, and Cora's also picking spots there where he says he's going to match them up against certain guys. So once you let him go a second inning, now you're introducing matchups that they don't want. It's another variable. Because, again, I think it's largely about that. That's the way they're doing it.
Well, and again, when Barnes came in the sixth, it was the top of the Yankees order. It was Judge, Gregorius, and Stanton. And then Brazier got, and so I don't have it in front of me, but whoever, 5, 6, 7 is.
The Sanchez group.
In the Yankees, which is a little softer landing there. So I think if that were flipped, you would have seen Brazier than Barnes.
Correct.
He wanted Barnes to face the top of the lineup.
Absolutely.
Did you see on Porcello, by the way, by any chance?
So Porcello had two starts against him this year. Last year, he got hammered. 6 innings, 7 runs. This year, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs, which is good, obviously. And then the next time, 5 2/3, 4 runs, which isn't great, but they did win both games. And last year in the playoffs, he got slapped around by him, too. So, you know what I mean? It feels like, but that's consistent with Porcello. Could go either way. It depends on the day, on the movement, on everything. And so, with me at Porcello, the issue is the stuff. It's just some days he's going to get hammered.
We've got Matt in Walpole on Alex Cora. What do you think, Matt?
Hey, guys. Glad to bother you, especially you, Maz, since Cora's making you eat most of your words these days with his MVP managering style for this particular series. Do you think that can help him in the Houston series because he managed there already?
So when you say eat my words, like what specifically are you talking about?
All season long, hating on the Sox. He used to be a Sox lover all year long. He made them better base runners. They, from Farrell, they sucked at running bases. They cleaned that up after the first quarter of the year. And then they were fast on the base runners, and he made good decisions throughout the season and won them this series.
All right, so Matt just didn't like your tone. Cora's institutional knowledge of the Astros, how does it play?
Sure, it can help a little bit, yeah. Because, again, he knows the psyche of those players, right? And then, to me, that's where the real advantage comes in. So you know how a guy thinks, how he reacts to certain things, and maybe you can push some buttons and get under their skin a little. And I even mean that, from a matchup standpoint. So, let's just say Springer doesn't like to be thrown up and in. You tell your pitchers, throw him up and in. Yeah. He'll get pissed off, you get him off his game.
That could be a real advantage.
Sure it could. No question about it. And so, it can also go the other way. Like if the player's smart enough and say, I know how he's going to attack me because I had discussions with him about this, so I'm going to be ready for it. But I would think overall being, in the middle of that operation, intimately, involved.
Value add.
Absolutely. No two ways about it. No question.
Did Cora announce starters 3 and 4?
Not that I'm aware of.
So just 1 and 2?
No, just 1 and 2.
Because again, game 3 gets game 7. So that, who would you want, Evaldi or Porcello?
Can I decide later?
Nope, because I go Porcello. I told you like this. I did call it. I said, I also said David Price would win one. So, not like I'm batting 1,000, but I told you that I have this confidence in Porcello for some reason. He's not afraid of the moment. His stuff isn't great. That's his issue. Although it certainly is. Now that I'm watching more carefully pitch to pitch, like I can see how he's evolved, how he throws up in the zone now and get guys to swing and miss at his fastball up in the zone. Where I've always thought about him, which is when he elevates, is when he gets hammered. But now he's elevating because this switch has just been fascinating. Baseball, they all have this launch angle now and these big uppercut swings, and they all want the low pitch. So now everyone's pitching up in the zone, and now Porcello's making guys swing and miss up in the zone. It's interesting.
Sure, yeah. No, listen, he's developed. There's no two ways about it, and I think he does a good job setting it up. He'll throw those breaking balls and soft stuff down in the zone. They get you to chase, and all of a sudden, here comes a high fastball, and now it looks like it's 96.
I just like the whole way he carries himself. I just feel like the moment's not too big for him.
Yeah, he's a pro. So, look, I lean towards stuff, but I think there's a reason Cora hasn't announced it. He didn't announce it really in the first series either, and that's because he needed Porcello in game 1, and then he bumped him back to game 4. So it could be a similar type of thing, that if you need him to pitch relief in the first 2 games, that you may have to bump him back a day and start him in game 4, and he feels like, really, I could go either way that way. And so let's see how it goes, and my guess is it's going to depend on the usage in the first couple of games.
All right, folks, if you're hanging on here, Maz starts at 6 o'clock for the baseball reporter. So stay right here on the phone bank, and Maz will talk to you starting at 6. If you want even more action with some swearing involved, the off-air show comes at 6:15 on Facebook Live. Coming up next is the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, here's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free service. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
A couple of things to get to here in the final word today. Let's play some audio from in real time as the Red Sox ended up beating the Yankees last night in four games in the ALDS as it was viewed on television and live on the air from Adam Jones and Christian.
Nice.
So Kimbrel looks like he gets the Nunez gets him at first. Got there you go. Wow, that was a close play.
Wow.
That was a close-ass play.
Holy moly.
I would not hug Craig Kimbrel, Christian Vasquez. That's not what I would do. I guess it looks like the Red Sox are holding back on their celebration a little bit. The Yankees aren't challenging this at first.
They might.
Are they?
Why wouldn't you?
I guess you can, but there's no. He was out. I mean,
He did lean foot. Like I don't know. I don't know if his foot came off.
Oh, you
the
think
bag,
maybe foot off the
he
bag?
He definitely leaned.
I mean, I. You're right. I mean, what's the problem with challenging it? Did Nunez hurt himself again?
I don't know.
Jesus, this guy's like my grandmother. Or is he just up doing what? No, maybe he's just kneeling down. No, it looks like the trainers are out there with him.
Yeah. So what? So he's hurt, so what? Get off
hey,
the field.
Hey, TBS, can I get a replay? Jesus. Here we go. Oh, all my right. God. Give me a replay. What's the holdup? Nunez probably blew out his knee again.
Yeah. On a throw.
On the throw to first base. Did this thing pull him off the bag? No, Pierce is on the bag. He's out.
Is it in the glove?
Yeah, that's okay. Game over. Yeah, I mean, I think.
All right. I saw him falling forward. I wasn't sure if it stayed on or not. Looks like it did.
Yeah, he's out.
That's in the glove. That is an out. Yeah, that is an out.
I mean, bang, bang, play.
Yeah.
He's out. And the game, you know, I mean, Kimbrel would still be going. He's out of there. All right, 617-779.
So Jones is, well, there's really nothing to rip right here. Yeah. Let me reset. Let me find out something to complain about. Hold on. 617-779. It's like, what do you do there? They just won, Jones. What do you do?
But speaking for all of us, though, yelling at the television.
Oh,
hey, TBS.
Oh, my God. I'm with him on that
oh
one.
Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
I think a lot of people still some residual anger from yesterday and, you know, mocking the fake cycle. So with that, there was a run of some bitter callers today saying, well, you know, shaking their ass, doing the blah, how you blah, like them, all of that.
If they're going to beat Houston and win a championship, they need more out of Mookie.
All right, fair enough. Chris in Northbridge, hi. Chris, you're on the air. Okay, got to call us back. You got to be ready to roll. Mike in Boston up next on line one. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, just great. What do you got, Mike? We've got Scott in Weymouth. Hi, Scott.
What's up? Good afternoon, guys. All right, great victory, great series, awesome. Here's my concern moving forward. Did they? I don't know, perhaps that's because I just hate the Yankees that much, or whatever. Here's my prediction. I'll dump with this. Ready? Excuse me. I'll close with this. They're either going to win or get... They're either going to win 4-0 or lose 4-0 in Houston. Mark my words. Get swept or sweep. I don't know which way it's going.
Okay, they ain't getting swept.
And I don't think they're sweeping. I mean,
so,
you know what?
0-2.
You are so right about this guy. He's so freaking irritating.
He's annoying.
Oh, my God. He qualifies everything. Just tell us what your point is and go.
He's annoying.
Leave. Go away. Say it quickly and go. Oh, my God. Does that drive me bananas?
He's annoying.
Qualifies everything.
Jeff in the car. Hi, Jeff.
So, you know, you guys, about a half hour ago, you made the comment that Porcello looked like he was losing in the fifth inning. And I'm just basically calling to say that I think that's completely ridiculous to say he was. I can't believe they pulled him out of that game after five innings when you consider their bullpen the way it's been.
So I didn't say he was losing it. I thought he was done. I thought he had one more at bat. It was six.
That should have been out. If it wasn't out, then Brett Gardner's deep fly ball doesn't even score the guy.
Okay, but
he's probably not on third anyway. So, and then the next guy flew out too, and that was, I mean, it was over.
So you disagree with Cora taking him out to start the sixth?
Absolutely. Considering what the bullpen has been doing, I disagree. Now, in hindsight, it looks like the right move, but I'm just saying at the time, guy was at like 64 pitches. He
65.
Was having great success against.
Yeah.
He was having great success against the top of the order, and that was what was going to come up in the sixth inning.
Yep.
You know, I don't know.
Now, let me stop.
Poor guy. Says 64 pitches. He jumped down his throat because he missed by one.
No, it's a good job, Maz. We demand accuracy here on the
65!
Phone show. 65, caller. Get your facts straight before you call in again, okay?
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.